there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Continuing our journey with the Apostle Peter, we're going to look at Acts chapter 15. Verses 6 through 12. Hear now the word of God. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. And the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we do ask you that you make the imperfect words of this pastor perfect in the hearts of all who hear the proclamation of this message today. That you do assemble your people for that purpose, that we may hear your word proclaimed, and more importantly, we may hear your voice in our hearts through your holy word. So speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all know, I guess in retrospect, the older that you get, you look back at yourself, and you see how you grew in stages. From a little infant that was feeding on milk to begin to feed on more solid food. You start to grow up on eating then meat and protein stuff and so forth. And as you grow, and you go through tremendous growing pains. You know, I know we don't often remember that when we're adults, but you know, consider that. You're growing from this, you know, little baby 20 inches long or so to, you know, whether 5-6 foot adult. Think of all that occurs during that process. Your bones are expanding. Your teeth are falling out. New teeth are coming in. And then you lose them again. You're growing, and this body just keeps expanding. And sometimes it's really hard, and it hurts. You know, I see that through my kids as they've grown over the years. So you're expanding as you're growing. Things happen, and sometimes they're not fun, and you experience things in your life, and they seem so terrible at the time, and you kind of outgrow them, and you're able to look back, and you can see your life from beginning to end, and you can see the growth stages in them. And so as we have been following Peter, it's kind of like that. Peter is the most mentioned apostle in the New Testament. There's none other even close to him. And so it's been now 18 years from this verse here that we had read today in the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. It's been 18 years since Jesus ascended into heaven. 18 years after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and indwelled them. 18 years after Peter stepped out and amongst the thousands of Jews that were there gave the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. And before that, he spent three and a half years with Jesus under intense discipling, being taught, but yet understanding that he still needed to be taught. See, there's a growth that occurred in Peter. And the book of Acts contains the leadership of Peter, and it shows his growth in the fullness of the gospel to expand to all people. Now, this was a major theological move for this Jewish fisherman. And so Peter moves then in his life from being a fisherman to a disciple of Christ, to a confessor, to a proclaimer, to one who includes and one who expands the church. All of this happens in Peter's life. And so number one, we have Peter the fisherman, the disciple, the rock of confession of the church, that the church was built upon. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, Jesus asked the apostles, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter steps up and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." See, as Peter was a disciple of Jesus, Jesus gives him this foreknowledge of a commission that he would fulfill, the building of the church. And the rock that the church was built on is the very confession that Peter made, that you indeed are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you follow Peter through the book of Acts, you see how the church was built on this proclamation, this solid foundation, this rock. And so next, as we follow up and we see the beginnings of the book of Acts in chapter 2 after Pentecost, and we see Peter now the proclaimer, that he grows as Jesus disciples him, but has a growth spurt at Pentecost. Have you all seen growth spurts in your kids or people around you? Have you seen that? You know, I remember there was one year when Tina grew from like 5 foot tall to 5 foot six. And, you know, there's like these growth spurts that take place. And I think Peter had one here. You know, he comes from being this fisherman who kind of doesn't know anything, probably, you know, Jewish. I mean, he obviously attended feasts in Jerusalem. We don't know how much he knew. He was brought up in the faith, in the Jewish faith for sure. But nonetheless, he was a laborer. He fished. He was a disciple then of Jesus. He was able to declare Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we all know what happened after that. Shortly after that, he denies Christ three times. And before Jesus ascends into heaven, he restores Peter three times. The Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles, and Peter then gives this message out to the Jews that were around attending the Feast of Pentecost, which would have been extremely voluminous. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit as a believing Christian, who accepts this very message that Peter had given way back with Jesus, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, miracles happen. I know for me, when I finally accepted that and I understood it, and I was genuine in my profession of faith some 30 years ago on a rock out in the middle of the Youghiogheny River, my life was changed from there and forevermore. And so this is what happened to Peter. He goes from this fisherman to disciple to confessor. Now he's proclaiming the very gospel of Christ. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words.'" And he continues with his sermon. You see, the good news was given to Peter. The good news had grown in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. The good news spread from Peter's heart to others. This proclamation. He speaks then to fellow Jews who are there at the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem. from all around the world who came to assemble there, and there were literally have been tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Jews coming into Jerusalem on one of those three feasts per year of the pilgrimage that they would make. And he speaks to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this is all happening within weeks after Jesus ascended into heaven. And as we move through the book of Acts, we see Acts chapter 4, and now Peter and John are brought in front of the Sanhedrin, even, the ruling body of the Jews, because they're causing all this commotion. And he gives his second sermon of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing, and he kind of sums it up in verse 12 in chapter 4. He says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. You see the rock that the church was built upon? The proclamation of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God? He already does it two times here. We're in chapter 4 of Acts. Peter, just like any other born-again Christian, understands that the sole sufficiency of salvation is Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is and must be the very rock that our church is built upon. That's why it's been around for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. You see, Peter then begins to understand inclusion in the church. Right now, he's going around. This is shortly after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and some other news starts coming about. It's about 1 year later now, and Peter and John are sent to investigate this issue that's going on in Samaria. Now, remember, Samaria was where these sort of mongrel Jews lived who were assimilated into the Assyrian community hundreds of years before. And they were looked at as detestable by the Jews because they weren't really true Hebrews. And so the apostles in Jerusalem now all of a sudden get this word that, hey, you know what? Something weird's happening here. Like, these people are being saved. And they're not like real Jews like we are. So Peter and John are sent to investigate. We read in Acts chapter 8 now. We're in chapter 8, in verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And what does he do? He goes to them and he explains the prophecy and he shows Jesus as the fulfillment of that prophecy. Exalted and poured out to these witnesses in Samaria. Further on in verse 25 in chapter 8, when they testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Now this, a year and a half later, after Jesus ascends, we're starting to get this idea of this inclusiveness of the message of Christ. That even to these sort of hybrid, despicable sort of Jews in Samaria, that God is willing to spread his word and they are receiving the Holy Spirit. I want you to think of this question honestly in your heart. How do you react when somebody who perhaps, you know, you have grown to despise over the years accept Christ and their life has changed? Have you ever seen that in people? I mean, now as Christians, we shouldn't be thinking despicable things about people because we know lives can be changed. In answering this question, the first person that I can see who was a despicable person was myself, who was so far from God, who never wanted to be reached by God, who never wanted to understand an encounter with Jesus Christ. See, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God extended his grace to me, the most despicable person, not worthy of it, not worthy of heaven. But he changed my life. And he changes the lives of others. And just as Peter was looking out and going to these Samaritan villages, which he never would have done a year and a half before all this, is now seeing himself preaching in front of despicable people. And I can't help but think that he thought the same thing that I'm talking about now, that I was once one of those. See, Peter's theology now begins to start to change. He is being teachable by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a point that we all have to learn. We all must remain teachable by the Spirit of God. Because if you read your Bible, if you're doing your devotions, and you look back 5 years ago, you have to say, I hope, that you know more now than you did then. Amen? And 5 years from now, your great hope is I'm going to know more because I love this relationship with my Savior. I love this relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want to continue it and keep it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He enables that in me. He enlightens me. He gives me wisdom. He gives me knowledge. His Word speaks. And so we grow in Christ. And so Peter begins to embrace this idea that, boy, my life was changed. I guess maybe these Samaritan lives can be changed too. And it's visible. I see it. See, Peter has this idea of inclusion. And it begins to be realized. So we move a couple more chapters ahead in Acts chapter 10. Peter begins then this transformation in his mind of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only given to Samaritans, but even a more grossly despicable people, Romans. And in fact, one of the subjugators of the area, which was a Roman centurion, Cornelius. So let's just read real quick here what happened in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. On the next day, Peter, who was in Joppa, he was on the coastline by the Mediterranean, and he went up to this housetop in a place he was staying to pray. He became hungry and was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparations, he had a vision. He saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleaned, no longer consider unholy." Now this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. If it's not apparent to you by now, then you ought to know that Peter is this kind of guy that has very selective hearing. We talked a little bit about this in our adult Sunday school today. He doesn't quite get it the first time. There's this pattern of threes with Peter. That he denies Christ three times. That before Christ ascends into heaven, he restores Peter. He's by the seashore and he says, "Listen, Peter, I want you to tend, feed my lambs. I want you to tend my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep." And during that conversation, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." Again, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." Now, do you really love me? "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you," he says. And so he's restored into ministry. And so now, as he is experiencing this growth in his life, he now has to confront these theological brick walls that were always there for the Jews. He had to be exposed a little bit to this idea that, yes, indeed, Samaritans can come to Christ too. And finally, as the leader of the church, as this budding leader that everybody started to look up to, he was one of the first to go to a Gentile. And not just any Gentile, a soldier who was part of the suppression of the Jewish community. And God had to knock on his head, you know, three times to make sure he understood that he was making the Gentiles open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And beloved, this little piece here in chapter 10 is important to all of us because we are what? Gentiles. God has made available his loving message. God has made available the gospel message. and His Holy Spirit to the whole world. The sufficiency of Jesus Christ, of accepting Him as Lord and Savior, is sufficient for every human being that ever lived. And it's effective for those who believe. And that's the very reason we're here today. He goes back then, after he sees this happening, and he goes to Cornelius, and his whole family accepts Jesus, and they're baptized even, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He goes back to Jerusalem and says, you know what? Some crazy stuff happening here. You know, God's message is going out to the world. He says in verses 17 that God gave them the same gift that He gave us. When they heard this, they quieted down, they glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. And so Peter has built this church into a greater building. He added on to it. As he was growing, the church was indeed growing. The church was expanding. And you and I must learn not to call unclean those that God has made clean as well. Now, we must be willing to go. Who's the lowly of life around us? Convicted about that. There are people that I know that I haven't gone to, that I haven't really embraced, that I haven't talked or had shown my faith to. There are. And I imagine each one of us has one or two stories about something like that. We didn't listen to the Holy Spirit in us. God was calling us to go to the Corneliuses of this world. And so then we reach our verse in chapter 15, and this is the Jerusalem Council. Now this happens after the first missionary journeys of Paul, who is going to all of these Gentile regions. And the big controversy then is, well, if they are going to be part of us, then they need to get circumcised like all the other Jews. And Peter speaks up. And this inclusion of all people was then finalized, and he endorses this expansion into the world. This is now 18 years later. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed him, and you see that he's the leader of the church. Brothers, you know that some time ago, and he's talking about his dealings with Cornelius, roughly 12 years ago, that God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from the lips the message of the gospel and believe. And he proved this by showing that God accepted them by giving the gift of the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. There's no distinction between them and us. So why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? This is an important theological point. What Peter is saying is that there's nothing in the law that we can obey to get to heaven. Because in our fallen nature, we're going to end up disobeying it. And the only relief that we have as a Jew to go sacrifice a goat or lamb or sheep or bird for remission of our sin, well, that doesn't work. It's the final sacrifice of Christ who was the perfect sacrifice for our lives. So, there is not a works-related thing that we can do. That it's by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life through faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. It's the rock of the church, our confession to Christ. So I ask you then to consider the life of Peter, of how he came from a fisherman to a fisher of men, to disciple, to confessor, to proclaimer, to include her, to expand her. Within 20 years, a great leader of the church. May our lives parallel his. May we also grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we have gone through this journey with Peter, and we have seen you place him in all of these various situations, Lord, that some way or other we can find in our lives too. We've seen him put his foot in his mouth. We have seen him proclaim you as the living God, the Son of God. We have seen him lead the church. We have seen him grow in his understanding and theology of his inclusion of others who had beforehand been called despicable. You have shown him the way, Lord. And as we grow, you show us the way too. And sometimes you need to tell us things three times too, if
if not more. But you do keep proclaiming that holy message in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. All that we may walk like Jesus Christ. All that we may press on to that perfection of Jesus. Be salt and light to a flavorless and darkened world. To deliver the gospel message to even the unwanted, Lord. And so penetrate our hearts with your word today. Speak to us and help us grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.